Good morning, everybody. So we started this day with Pitahaya, and we are going to finish the day also with the same issue. In my opinion, that's quite a good idea. You can never speak too much about the Pitahaya, and since the audience has almost doubled, so it might be interesting for some of you. I'm here also in representation of Dr. Roberto Castillo, who is one of the pioneers of Pitahaya production in Mexico, and also had some relevance here at the AHS meetings. Since Ramiro already mentioned many details about the Pitahaya, I will pass you quite quickly through this introduction part. So the Pitahaya, as you wish, depending on the area, is a climbing cactus coming from Mexico, Central America. Interesting, definitely, is its huge flexibility in terms of climatic demand. There are about 25 cultivars now identified. There are sometimes days, as Ramiro already mentioned, there's some kind of linguistic confusion also with the Pitahaya or dragon fruit. The most produced varieties are still those with the white flesh and the pink skin. Nicaragua is very relevant, although also Asia has a very, very considerable local market. Israel is now important for Europe. We already heard about this here in the US. Florida, California, and Hawaii are the most important states in terms of dragon fruit production. In Mexico, you see on the Pacific coast, you can find the yellow a bit higher, but in the southeastern part, the Yucatan Peninsula, the white one is definitely dominant. The production is almost only focused on the local market, and recently there was a considerable focus also on organic production. So organic is just a starter there, but it's getting more and more important. The propagation is with cuttings, with clones. Trellises are required apart from the more sophisticated techniques. There on the Yucatan Peninsula, they traditionally use piled stones or living stakes in forms of trees, there of the native trees, there of the jungle. As already mentioned, very interesting is the flexible water demand. Without the irrigation, you can grow the dragon fruit or the Pitahaya of areas with 500 up to 1,500 millimeters. So this should also cover quite a couple of regions here in the US and in the southern part. Especially nutrition and pruning are definitely key for a successful output, for a successful yield with the Pitahaya. The fruits you have to find out also, as Ramiro mentioned in the beginning, you have to find out the depending on the variety, the exact harvest moment to get a really high quality output. Normally on the Yucatan Peninsula, with a very favorable climate for this fruit, you can cut it or harvest it three times a year: May, June, and July, which is normally the maximum harvest, and a third one August, September, sometimes even a fourth in the fourth moment in October. Where did we do this trial? So just in front of New Orleans on the Yucatan Peninsula, in the state, Mexican state of Quintana Roo. The community is called Chunya. It's an indigenous Maya community. The climate there is subhumid. You can see here the precipitation quite high, of about 1,300 millimeters, and also relatively hot. The trial was done between the years 2010 and 2013. this region is very particular. It's a region in Central Kindaro, maybe the most rural, economically one of the less developed regions of the Yucatan Peninsula. Also, the soils there are very poor, so most of the crops there, which are done there on the Yucatan, cannot be successfully cropped in this part. So, since the 1980s, especially in the 1990s, people starting there specializing in the dragon fruit, which is one of the few options which gives a good and satisfactory output there. Important for us was, really challenging, was the fact that there is no cattle farming. So for organic soil management, this gets a little bit challenging without these inputs. Considering the favorable parts, there's still an intact dry tropical broadleaf forest there. So our conclusion was, what we need is a low cost management for the economic situation there, and we had to find out how to deal with the nutrition of the plants. Maybe some aspect about the dragon fruit, which was already not mentioned, is that it is a fantastic intercrop. So it can be used to intercrop with vegetables. I presented here 4 years ago in a trial with dragon fruit and pepper. And of course, it can also be intercrop with the trees, so with the living stakes. This can be fruit trees. In any case, so this what makes it very attractive. Also, the fact that it's not very, at least there on the Yucatan, there are not so many disease problems as apparently in California, and in terms of insect pests, it's not that problematic. Maybe nutrition is for this region was the most complex threat. So what we wanted to find out is a nutrition mechanism for the dragon fruit in this region with rain-fed management, which was all totally fine. There was no need of irrigation there, and we compared a classical, typical organic management with commercial products to a management based exclusively on local resources. And in this trial, we focused particularly on the economic aspects. We used the 1 hectare of dry tropical forest and simply used the trees there as trellises for the pitahaya. We divided the area in 4 equal areas to control, one with this agroecological management based on local resources and one with organic management with commercial products. And you can see here the pictures of the diverse trees which are growing there, which we used as trellises for the plant. This is definitely one of the most interesting aspects of the dragon fruit. There were these 3 variants: the control variant with only the initial nutrition measure, or the agroecological management with wood ash and a biofertilizer we made out of a local plant there, which is the chaya. I did actually yesterday a presentation on that, and the organic management with compost and also with commercial liquid foliar fertilizers, and the transplanting, as already mentioned, occurred in 2010. The variety was Mexicana, the close obtained there, which is the most common variety there in the Tunis region. The density was about 800 plants a hectare. Irrigation rain fed, weed control was manually done. Pruning is very, very important for getting satisfactory output there. Maybe the most relevant management measure. And for the pest control, we used a little bit of neem oil, and we get some problems with larvae of Alvareda, and used a commercial product based on orange terpene. The harvest data comes from 2011, so with the pitahaya normally you start to harvest in the second year. The harvest data comes from 2011 to 2013, we divided the output into three most three common weight classes they have there, as pointed out here on the screen. The whale of harvest was determined by the market prices of the year 2014, and in terms of costs, we considered the cost for groping, for the clones, the loans, the wages there, and we also did some soil and quality analysis of the fruit. So what was the output in with these three managements? You can see that the output with the organic management, with commercial product, was almost the same as with the agroecological management. The control variant without any nutrition measures was clearly behind those, and also significantly behind those the other two management, which also gave more or less the same output in terms of weight classes. Now, the big difference was seen in the economic part. The costs, which are especially dedicated to management, to pruning and to harvesting, were almost the same in all variants. The output, as already mentioned, in the agroecological and the organic management were the same, so as the output was the same, also the income was the same. Obviously, the market prices in Mexico are quite significantly lower than in California. The big difference was the investment in materials, and especially materials and synthetic products, as we did not use those in the agroecological management. At the end of the day, we had a much better revenue there with the agroecological management, and this was also kind of what we found out there. Maybe an additional data, we noticed that with the management techniques applied, we had quite a successful nutrient management. When you do not use any nutrition measure, then you get a problem with potassium, which definitely ends up in a lower quality output in terms of fruits. And finally, the balance was much more successful in the one with the agroecological management due to lower inputs. So the final conclusion was that embedding the dragon fruit to the local forest is a very good idea. I think this can be done here in the United States, also in many regions, very easily to grow, very very good intergroup. It's not necessary to invest big amounts in commercial products. So this is very an easy crop, and you can save a lot of money, and you still get a successful output. And with this. These conclusions, I would like to thank you for your attention and to answer your questions. Thank you very much.
Any questions? Yes. So why was your control basically no fertilizer as opposed to, say, using synthetic fertilizer?
So the question was whether the control was without fertilizers and the other one with synthetic fertilizers. The answer is that first off, we did not use any in any synthetic fertilizer. The difference was that in one variant we had commercial organic fertilizers, and another one was fertilization based on local resources, and the third one was without any nutrition measure. Well, as we knew from the farmers there, that the dragon fruit is generally a very easy crop, we wanted to see whether there's any need to establishing the pitaya in the jungle there, whether there's any need to implement the nutrition measures. And as we found out, yes there is. So this was why we used this control variant. Any more questions?
Or
yes, as As we have already heard today, it is exported also from Mexico. There on the Yucatan, especially the organic dragon fruit is special for the local market. You know, the Riviera Maya and the big touristic regions there are only about 100 miles away from this region, so this goes especially to this part of Mexico. But there's definitely the intention also to export it at a larger scale.
Any more questions? Yes.
With this kind of culture, you can make organic certification?
So the question was whether this management is congruent with the requirements of organic production, and it definitely is. There are many producers that which fulfill most of the requirements of organic production, but use chicken dung for nutrition, which obviously would not be possible for certified organic production. All the other measures are totally congruent with organic management.
All right, thank you.